Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are. To show its peaceful intentions, Iran has confiscated a Nobel Peace Prize. New unemployment claims are down again, and housing prices and sales are up. Still, holiday shopping is expected to be anemic, except for the blood cells that will likely flow in the aisles on Black Friday. The president is to announce his plans for Afghanistan next Tuesday. We may not be Criswell, but it doesn't take much to predict this outcome. Term limits in the U.S. Senate are introduced and are co-sponsored by a record number of senators, three. That's probably three too many. We'll explain why. Sarah What's-Her-Name is to speak at a national Tea Party convention, the first. What does it mean? By the way, Michelle Bachmann will also be speaking there, and there is to be no extra charge for straitjackets. The president pardons a turkey. No, not the former president, a bird. He didn't want to, but it's a tradition going way back, 18 years. And happy 50th birthday to RJS and BM with regards to the late Jay Ward. Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat, and here's something you'll really like. A new recommendation on cardiac arrest, staying alive. Happy Thanksgiving, if appropriate. Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, welcome to Speaking of Everything with Jeff Bushman. That's me. All that, news of the weird, and our special guest tonight, Alicia Bushman, my lovely bride, who will be speaking of astrology. We'll be talking about sun signs, compatibility, groups of signs, and what astrology is really all about. She's likely to say it's not your daily horoscope. And if there's time, we'll also talk about mammograms, prostate exams, and my favorite, colonoscopies. But first, whether you have one or more kids in your home, I'll bet you have at least one child who lives with you. These days, we call them pets. If you have a pet, you know that your companion animal or animals are really your children, and you treat them like that. If you feel about your pet children the way my wife and I do, you want them to have the best food, the best shampoo and other grooming products, the most enjoyable and safe toys, real meat bones, and the best of everything they need or want. But you also want it to be available at a reasonable price. I've got the answer for you. Pet Lane provides all of that and more. Great products at very reasonable prices, and you don't even have to leave the house to get them. Just go to petlane.com/bushman. You deserve to be able to indulge them, and now you can. petlane.com/bushman. And we're back. Wanted to talk about the things we headlined. Iran, that toddling town, the Islamic Republic confiscated the prize, the Nobel Peace Prize, and some other items from the safety deposit box of Shirin Ebadi. She's an attorney who won the prize in 2003 for speaking out in favor of women's rights in Iran. They've taken her Nobel Peace Prize and some other items from that box, and the Nobel Peace Prize Committee in Norway has also suggested that they recently arrested and beat up her husband. Just goes to show they're really in favor of peace. New unemployment claims we talked about, they're down. New unemployment claims continue to go down. Frankly, I'm a little surprised. I didn't expect that to keep happening. Now, the overall unemployment rate has not changed, and there are all kinds of mathematical reasons for that besides the economic ones. But new claims, first-time claimants for unemployment, are down. That has nothing to do with discouraged workers. It actually means that although the situation is not good, the bleeding may have stopped increasing. Completely unconnected, I did mention the Black Friday phenomenon. Tomorrow is the busiest, I believe, retail day of the year in the United States. And this is the day when, first off, what happens is they have all these sales that begin at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning at the various stores, and you're supposed to be able to get these magnificent bargains if you get there early and can get in before anybody else does to buy that 50-inch TV for $35 or whatever it is they're charging now. Those deals are few and far between, but it is kind of important that you protect yourself, and I'll tell you why. Every year, there are always some injuries, and occasionally some years there are deaths at the various stores that open up, frequently a couple of minutes later than they're supposed to. And what occurs is that the crowd gets very eager, pardon me, and upset and rushes in. So if you are in one of those crowds, the two dumbest things you can do, and never mind about participating at all, but the two dumbest things you can do once you're there is to try to go against the crowd to get out, or actually let the crowd carry you. So what you want to do is, if there's a danger of stampede, you want to put your hands around your shoulders, or as best you can, and try to slide to the side of the crowd, keep to the outer extremity so you can get out. If you should get knocked down, bring yourself into a fetal position with your hands behind your neck. Now, this advice is not mine. It actually comes from Wired magazine. And this is a problem that sometimes occurs, and the positions that they suggested, which I'm repeating, are really the best things you can do to protect yourself if you find yourself in a mob that's interested in going shopping like that. It kind of sounds like every Saturday at the local Walmart, but the fact is that these crowds are really much more of a serious problem. So, again, if you participate at all, do protect yourself. A number of companies, both in the stores and online, are having sales that begin tomorrow but continue through the holiday season. I call it the holiday season because I am one of those people, in fact, who is trying to kill Christmas, as O'Reilly charges against people who don't mention Christmas at every other breath once Thanksgiving has passed. That the reality is those sales are going to go on because of the economy on an ongoing basis, and lower prices are going to be offered throughout the season. So if you're not absolutely compelled to go to one of these sales, you can still get the beneficial pricing. This would be a good time, by the way, to mention our phone number. As you know, this is Thanksgiving, so we're not expecting a lot of calls or even a lot of listeners to the live edition of this show. This is Thanksgiving. We are live, which is better than the alternative. And if you want to call in, you're welcome to do so, whether now or when Alicia Bushman joins us at about the top of the hour to talk about astrology. If you have questions about astrology, would care to make comments, your calls are welcome. One of the questions that frequently occurs when someone talks about that subject is, well, my girlfriend is a Libra and I'm an X, whatever the sign is. Are we compatible? To be honest with you, if you have to call a show to find out if you and your significant other are compatible, you probably don't need to call the show. But that said, I'm sure she'll entertain questions like that, and she'll entertain everybody who's listening as well. Moving on. Oh, I should mention the phone number. I started to allude to it, and now I haven't mentioned it because I'm so clever. It is area code 347-994-3796. Repeating, 347-994-3796. And if you wish to call in to discuss anything we've discussed tonight or on previous shows, or something relating to politics or books, magazines, various subjects like that, feel free to do that as well. Tuesday next, the President of the United States is going to announce his plans for Afghanistan. There has been a lot of discussion about how long he's taking to formulate his plans. There's been a good deal of argument about whether he's taking too long and so forth. All of that discussion aside, to predict what is going to be announced is not exactly difficult. What he's going to announce, I will tell you now, in case you don't already know, but here's what the announcement's going to be. He's going to announce that we're going to add a number of troops. I don't know the exact number, but it's going to be between 30 and 40,000. He's also going to say that we are also in the process of developing an exit strategy so that the commitment to Afghanistan, while strong, is not interminable, and we will be leaving Afghanistan at some point, and here's the plan to do so. He will then announce what his exit strategy is. The reality is that we really shouldn't be involved in Afghanistan, or Iraq for that matter, but we really shouldn't be involved in Afghanistan, but we will be for a significant period. And one of the reasons we are in and will continue to be in Afghanistan is to pull out would give the Republicans a fair amount of ammunition to use against Obama, not just on the subject of military and war, but also on subjects like the health reform, the health financing reform bill that are before the House and the Senate. So you can expect he's going to agree to send more troops, therefore to some degree quieting the opposition. And it's a shame that, for better or worse, and I'm not criticizing Obama, that's just realpolitik, but it's a shame that we have a situation where young men and women are going to die because of political reasons in the United States, rather than what's going on in Afghanistan or any alleged or ostensible threat to us. Term limits. A number of states have passed laws that say if you are a political office holder, governor, state senator, state representative, or assembly person, you can only hold that office for so many terms, however many the law specifies. And in the case, for example, of California or Arizona, the governor can only be in that office for 8 years. For example, if Schwarzenegger isn't running again, although he might also choose not to run because he couldn't win if that's the case. But that's what term limits are. A couple of states a number of years ago tried to pass laws limiting the terms, the number of terms that one could serve in the House of Representatives of the United States or the United States Senate. With regard to those laws, they were ruled to be unconstitutional. And the reason for that is that both the Senate and the House of Representatives positions are federal jobs, and no state has the power to control how many terms one of their representatives will serve, except by not voting for them the next election. That's the ultimate term limit. Lose the election. What's happening is there is now a move afoot in the United States Senate to pass a rule that says you can only serve, I believe it's two, it might be three Senate terms. And Senator DeMint is the one who sponsored it, and there are two other senators who have signed on. That's out of 100. The problem with term limits being passed by legislators with regard to their own term is that now they're not going to be really excited about limiting their ability to regain the position. But beyond that, it's not going to pass. This one's not going anywhere. This is an attempt to curry favor with voters by saying, I'm all for term limits. I sponsored or I voted in favor of a rule that would do that. However, since the United States Constitution fixes how long and what the term of offices are for both the Senate and the House of Representatives, this will require a constitutional amendment. Therefore, it would have to first be passed by two-thirds of both houses and then by three-quarters of the states. That's one of the reasons we don't have too many amendments to our U.S. Constitution. So the fact is that the people who would vote in the states are principally state legislators. Senators and members of the House of Representatives of the United States are frequently drawn from state legislators. That is, someone is first the state senator, then decides to run for either the U.S. House or the U.S. Senate. Those folks are not going to vote in favor of term limits. It is against their own self-interest. And as a rule, people vote in their self-interest, except when Republicans are elected, but that's another story. But people tend to vote in their self-interest, whether it's general voters or voters in the legislatures. And as a result, that one, as I said, is not going anywhere. Also, we mentioned that Sarah Palin is to speak at an event which is called the First National Tea Party Convention, along with Michelle Bachmann and others. This tells us something, I think, that they may not have intended to tell and may bode some serious concerns for the United States political process. There have been a number of these so-called Tea Party events. Interestingly, of course, the references to the original Tea Party, the Boston Tea Party, that occurred prior to the Revolution, the American Revolution, in the 1770s. But these Tea Party events have taken place, and of course, a number of conservatives, Republicans, have attended these events. But when you're talking about the first Tea Party convention, stop thinking for a moment of a Tea Party as a Tea Party or as a political activity. What if instead of national tea, the words prior to party convention were Republican or Democrat? You'll recall there was a congressional race in the state of New York, upstate New York, of the 23rd District. And just to refresh your memory, because after all, we're Americans and we don't have a long historical or political memory. In that election, there was a Democrat running and there was a Republican running. And there was a fellow from the Conservative Party in New York who was running for office as well. Just as a brief aside, in the state of New York, there are, of course, the two parties. There are the Greens, there are all those other folks. But there are two longstanding, I hesitate to call them minor, but let's call them third parties in the state of New York. There is the liberal and there is the conservative. Some years, those parties just nominate as their own candidate, a candidate of the Republican or Democratic Party. And as an example of that, the Liberal Party in New York State has nominated, when FDR was running for office, they nominated him to carry their banner as well, as did the Democrats. And when John Lindsay, who was a Republican, ran for mayor of New York, the Liberal Party nominated him as well. And taking it one step further, Abe Beame, who was a Democrat but conservative, was nominated by the Conservative Party in New York. Okay, that said, occasionally they will nominate their own candidates, each of those parties. And that's what happened in New York. The Conservative Party, instead of echoing the Republicans and nominating the Republican candidate, decided that the Republican candidate was insufficiently conservative for them, and they nominated their own candidate, who was endorsed by Sarah Palin and several other conservative Republicans over and above the member of their own party, who was a woman who was running for the office. What occurred was the Democrat won because the conservative and Republicans essentially split the conservative vote. And so as a result, New York's 23rd District, which had not elected a Democrat in over 100 years, has now sent a Democrat to the House of Representatives from that district. Okay, but that's the preliminary. When you're talking about a national Tea Party convention, you may be talking about the formation of a third party. Is that going to happen? Well, a lot is going to depend on what occurs at that convention, what kind of buzz it gets, and so on. So the old radio phrase occurs here, which is stay tuned. The fact is that there may be a third party forming, a national third party forming, with Sarah Palin at its head. There's a joke here, but I'm going to let that one pass. I don't know when that's occurring, but it is coming up. So the National Tea Party Convention is something to watch out for. I wouldn't be at all surprised if that results in the formation of another political party. And if it does, and I hope it does, because frankly, I think it'll mean the Republicans are in trouble. There's my bias showing. I mentioned that, even if I didn't, I intended to, that President Obama carried on a tradition today. He pardoned a turkey. Oh, I did mention it. Every year, the President of the United States at Thanksgiving pardons a turkey, spares the turkey's life. It will not be killed and cooked for Thanksgiving. Well, as Ronald Reagan used to say, well, there you go again. I had thought that this tradition went way back, that presidents have been doing this for a long time, although I don't really remember it going on for a long time. Well, it turns out that the first president to pardon a turkey was the first President Bush. It occurred in, I believe it was 1991, was the first time. He pardoned a turkey, and of course a great deal of comment was made on that, but presidents have been doing it since then. It would be nice from, I say this from the standpoint of a vegetarian, of course, if we pardoned all turkeys and didn't go ahead and kill them for our eating pleasure on Thanksgiving, but That involves another tradition. I don't think that's likely to change anytime soon. There's a new recommendation on cardiac arrest, which I meant to tell you about at the top of the show, and I don't think I did. The new recommendation? Staying alive. And no, I don't mean what it sounds like. I don't mean that the recommendation is you try to stay alive or that you try to help someone else stay alive during cardiac arrest, but it refers to something rather interesting. As you may know, the American Heart Association has recently recommended that instead of the old cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR, that used to be used with pushing down on the heart so many times, compressing the heart, and then breathing into the mouth of the victim, that instead people who are trying to give assistance to someone whose heart has stopped just do the compressions, which frankly seems a lot more sanitary, but never mind that. We're talking about someone's life here. Who cares about sanitary? That said, the American Heart Association believes, as do others, although not everyone, that just doing the compressions is the better way to do this in terms of resuscitating the heart and preventing lack of oxygen to the brain. But if you're like most people, and me, we've never been trained in CPR, so we don't know how to do the compressions. And what the recommendation came out with today was that you should be playing in your mind's ear the song Stayin' Alive by the Bee Gees in that rhythm, because that rhythm of the Bee Gees comes out to about 100 compressions a minute. So if you just do ooh, ooh, I won't sing, but ooh, 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 Stayin' Alive, with each one of those words, ooh, 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 and Stayin' Alive, if you just keep compressing on that beat, that is about 100 beats a minute, and that will help keep the brain alive by virtue of sending oxygen to it, and will resuscitate the heart until paramedics get there. That's the recommendation. Now, since this has been done, many more people are living who have their heart stopped. Clearly not everybody. And in fact, not only not everybody, but the record in CPR helping with cardiac arrest at all is frankly kind of dismal. Approximately 95% of all the people who have cardiac arrest do not survive. So if you see someone who's experiencing that and you feel you can help, do the heart compression, and the song is Stayin' Alive. A number of years ago, Steve Allen, a famous then, I'm wondering how many people have never heard of him, but who are listening to the show, probably both of them. In any event, Steve Allen, who was the originator of The Tonight Show, effectively, and had his own TV show for a number of years, used to read rock lyrics as if they were poetry. Words, of course, sounded funny. It would be something like, she loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, 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 yeah. And it would go on and on until there would be a point where, she loves you, and you know that can't be bad. She loves you, and you know you should be glad. Ooh. He did it obviously better than I do. Happy 50th birthday is in order. I mentioned RJS and BM, and for those who are about my age, a little older, a little younger, RJS is Rocket J. Squirrel, better known as Rocky the Squirrel, and BM doesn't stand for what you think, but rather Bullwinkle Moose. And Jay Ward, I can't remember his associate's name, it's Bill something, created Rocky and Bullwinkle, and I had an experience. First off, I had a weird experience today. I was discussing cartoons with a friend of mine. Didn't know it was the 50th birthday of Rocky and Bullwinkle. That show premiered 50 years ago today on ABC in prime time. I had said that I liked Rocky, and I liked also Cecil, Beanie and Cecil. But I didn't, as I said, I didn't know until later in the day, and then boom, it popped up in terms of the news. A number of years ago, when I was in my 30s, I guess, late 20s, early 30s, I spoke to the woman, and yes, it was a woman, who used to do the voice of Rocky and Sherman. That was Mr. Peabody's boy, Sherman, and Natasha. I'm sure she did other voices as well. I think she probably did Nell of Dudley Do-Right fame. But anyway, her name was June Foray, and I had occasion to talk to her I assume she's no longer with us because she was older than I am, older than I was, and therefore would be substantially older than I am. If I'm wrong and she's still living, apologies to anyone who might be listening who knows her. But anyway, June Foray did those voices, and a woman was doing Rocky and Sherman, as I say, as well as Natasha. And a woman, as many of you already know, also does the voice of Bart Simpson and does some other voices on that. Her name is Nancy Cartwright, and I once saw her at UCLA. In any event, that is the story of Rocky and Bullwinkle, and that began a lot of spin-off activity. Later on, the show left ABC and went to NBC and became the Bullwinkle Show. And so if you see Rocky and his friends and then also see Bullwinkle Show, that's the reason. They were on two different networks at different times, not competing with one another. But as I say, it started on ABC and then later went to NBC. Newsoftheweird.com is a website you can go to, and you can find some very strange stories. And if time permits, we'll get to that. I recommend it to you. But before we get to those, before our magnificent guest joins us, I want to bring you this word. That cup of coffee feels great in your hands. The aroma goes right to your brain as you breathe it in. The cabin's warming up for the family because you had the foresight to get the fireplace going, and now the smell of the wood is mixing with your coffee. It took time and work to get to the point that you could just get up and go to your cabin whenever you wanted to, but it also took being smart. You were smart enough, for example, to know that if you're in business and have a website, you're really in business when you're also blogging. You went to jeffonblogging.blogspot.com and chose Blog Wizardry to write your blogs for you. It was inexpensive, it was well done, and it increased traffic to your website and your company. Even though the cabin's getting nice and toasty, you can hear the wind blowing through the trees and get a sense of the brisk outside air. What was that noise? You go to the window. It's a doe and her fawn. It's going to be a good day. Blog Wizardry. jeffonblogging.blogspot.com. And we're back. News of the weird. Here's a couple of, at least one weird story. A lawyer in Britain has invented a new method of killing lobsters. Apparently the legal business is going a little slowly. The Crustastun, presumably a shortening of crustacean and stun gun, will retail for about £2,000, which comes out to a little over $3,000. This so-called humane way to dispatch your lobster is supposedly sanctioned by PETA. I can guarantee you it's not, by the way. I'm a member, and I can guarantee you they wouldn't do that. If we invented machines big enough for cows, well, never mind that. But anyway, that's the Crustastun. What a grand idea. The reason I say that PETA would not endorse that isn't because I say so, but because they don't want any animals killed for food. And based on what I said earlier, I assume you would understand that I agree. Also, from Afghanistan, the country which we are not occupying, comes this story. The head of the, I'm going to mispronounce this, Buzkashi Foundation wants Buzkashi to become an Olympic sport. The gentleman who is the head of that organization, who's the promoter of that sport, wants it to become an Olympic sport. But the problem is anarchy. The way it works, to the extent it does, is one horseback rider needs to hand carry a goat carcass the length of the field, around a flag, and back before other riders, using just about any tactic possible other than killing him, try to stop him. The time limits vary, and frequently the boundary lines are not respected, and spectators have to run away. The foundation wants to also corporatize the sport, with businessmen entertaining their clients at these matches like U.S. executives do in stadiums. We have my favorite caller, who's going to join us here in a minute, and she is Alicia Bushman, my lovely bride. Are you there, babe?
I'm here.
Okay, terrific. And in terms of background, she has real expertise in science, based on her studies and her background, but also she has an enormous background in astrology, and other similar subjects. I don't know what else to say. And she's going to talk with us now about astrology. If you wish to call in and ask some questions, the number is 347-994-3796. Of course, if you're listening to the show in its archived edition, you can't do that. See what you missed by not listening live. And you have been studying astrology essentially for a very long time, right?
Yes, really since I was a kid. And I was wandering around a store, picked up a book, and started reading about myself. Of course, at that time, I was one of my most interesting subjects, being 13 years old.
Sure.
And then started reading about family members and friends, and noticed that the criticism I had often heard of astrology, which is it's not specific. I happened to just by accident pick up a pretty good book.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not specific, it's just a bunch of generalizations, really was not the case. It was a very specific discussion of all 12 of the zodiac signs, which means the sign that the sun was in, which zodiac sign it was in at the time you were born.
Mm-hmm.
And the sun is actually the most powerful indicator of what our personalities, our potentials, our liabilities are coming into this lifetime. And knowing ourselves thoroughly, that is kind of where we begin with astrology, is what our sun.
Okay, now you were mentioning the sun, where the sun was, and when someone talks about their sign, you're a Pisces, I'm a Cancer, that's referring, when you made reference to the sun, that's what's sometimes referred to as the sun signs, right?
Yes, that is what the sun signs are, yes.
Okay. And what other kinds of signs are there, and how do they impact on what someone is likely to experience or what their character is?
What astrology looks at is that at the exact moment of your birth, and hopefully you do know that, you know, on your birth certificate it gives you the time you were born down to the minute.
Mm-hmm.
What it is a map of the heavens as it relates to the 12 zodiac signs and at the time of that your birth. And the map of the heavens includes the position of the moon and includes the position of all the nine planets. Modernly, we also look at some of the asteroids and their influence on our characters and our lives and the choices we have to make in terms of the kind of people we can and should become. I would say that each planet tends to affect a different part of who we are as human beings. For instance, the moon is a planet which really affects our subconscious, and it affects it through our emotions. It is the emotional planet in our beings. It's
okay.
The moon
let me stop you there for purposes of explanation to people who don't know but are interested. So I was born at a given time and on a given date, as is everybody, and where the moon was at the time of my birth will affect me in terms of my emotions, and if your moon is somewhere else in the chart of where all the planets and stars are at the time of your birth, it's in a different place, your emotions will be affected differently from the way in which mine will, correct?
Right. And let me give you a specific example of that. For instance,
mm-hmm.
you have a Leo moon. Now, Leo is a sign of leadership, and it's a sign of creativity, and it's a sign of generosity, and it's also a sign of, pardon me, darling, egotism. You've never experienced that.
Well, you know, until you hit that one, I was all for this. Go ahead.
And what the way the moon would affect you is that you would be experiencing all of those qualities, but you wouldn't necessarily be aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be drawn to areas of your life where you could express a great deal more creativity than perhaps the average Cancerian. So not that Cancer is not a creative sign, but it is not as creative as Leo tends to be.
Okay.
So already you see an interplay of two planets, all right? The sun, although technically they're not planets, but two
right.
heavenly bodies, the sun and the moon, and how they play off each other.
Okay, now let me just interject one thing here. If I understand you, this is all very different from the nonsense of opening the newspaper and looking at the horoscope column and saying, oh, okay, I'm going to have a terrific day.
Well, that is basically pretty useless, because unless you have that entire map that I referred to, where and you can learn how to do this fairly easily for yourself, or you can, you know, go to somebody who will do it for you and do a better job than you probably would as a novice. But unless
okay.
you have all of the planets and the moon and the asteroids and the interrelationships that they form between them taken into account, you can't really predict anything. And
right.
I'm not sure whether predictive astrology is a good idea anyway.
Okay.
And
what is it good for?
I think...
Or what is it better for, I should say?
My personal take on astrology in terms of the very best that we can get from it is that it allows us to know ourselves at a very deep level and also at the more superficial levels of our being. And what I mean by that is that
mm-hmm.
we can get an idea of the kind of intellectual areas in our lives that we're really able to express ourselves with better than others, that we have more of an ability in. We know what our we can look at ourselves emotionally and say, I'm really great at friendships, but you know, closer relationships are difficult for me. And if we have that knowledge, then we can choose to work on those areas. We can choose to explore what it would be like to get past limitations. We all have them. Without limitations, there really is no potential for further growth. Because if everything was just really easy, you know, and frankly, nobody has a chart that's easy.
Right.
Everybody has got areas where we are forced to grow, forced to transform. And if we really find out what those areas are, and we really find out what our gifts are, the things that are easy, that we do like nobody else does, then
mm-hmm.
what we can do is we can use our gifts to work on the areas that are so difficult for us that we all have. And very
right.
often, we're not conscious of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go through life and the cell phones are ringing and we all have very intense, very busy lives. And we are not conscious of who we really are and how can we really live our potential. You know, who we came into this world to be, unless
mm-hmm.
we can grasp who that is.
Right. And there are certain things, are there not, in terms of, and this is very broad, based on what you just said, where there are characteristics of someone based on their sign, and again, with the caveat or limit, that if, let's say, for example, if I meet another Cancer, I'm going to probably, and you tell me if I'm right, but there are certain characteristics that person's going to have, in all likelihood, being a Cancer,
mm-hmm.
although that will be limited or ameliorated or changed to some degree by the other things and other signs, like you mentioned. The
other influences of the chart, yes, uh-huh,
okay.
That's correct.
All right. And so it all plays a part. So that's one of the reasons that if you talk about two Virgos, to use another sign, one will have a given characteristic, whatever that is, say a desire for neatness, which tends to be a pattern of Virgos, right?
Very good. Yes.
Okay. And someone else will not be quite so, what's the obsessive OCD? About neatness, who is also a Virgo, because there are other influences on that person in terms of when they were born, not only what date, but what time.
Right.
Correct?
Right. And charts have patterns. In some mm-hmm. charts, you will see this. Excuse me, I don't
Hello?
Know what that was.
Oh.
Yes,
okay,
I'm still ahead. Here. In some charts, you will see the sun having a tremendous influence on that person's character because of the patterns and the interrelationships that exist in the chart with the celestial bodies that are present at our birth. Some people actually, at a deeper level, express their moon or to a greater extent, or express more the energy of the sign of Venus or Mars. And Venus would be the love nature, it would be the artistic nature, it would be the gentler, more yin side of us. And Mars is a much more yang side of us, and it has to do with fighting to achieve and fighting, period. It's our tempers, and it's our sexuality. So people are more strongly influenced, although the sun is the deepest part of us when it comes to actually living our lives and expressing who we are and really experiencing the world through our own special, unique beings. Sometimes the sun does fade a bit into the background and there is some other influence in our chart which does tend to affect us more, you know, more deeply.
Mm-hmm.
I will also add that it depends upon the stage of life we're in, because
mm-hmm.
as we live our lives, different parts of our charts become expressed. When we're very young, when we're children, we're just beginning to experience our individuality and our potential, and as we evolve into adults and older adults and hopefully keep evolving, different parts of our charts come into play that perhaps were not there a decade ago. So
part of that is also part of that is personal development in light of what else is in our chart. Correct? I mean, as we mature.
No, actually, there are planetary cycles that only occur at certain times in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I have spoken to you specifically about the Saturn cycle, which is a toughie.
Mm-hmm.
And that it tends to start to be experienced around 28 is our first
mm-hmm.
one, and then 56. And then, you know, you keep going, like every 28, 29 years, we kind of get hit with
right.
all of the business in our lives that we didn't really complete. And rather than being in a position where we can kind of ignore it, things suddenly start happening in our lives where we have to pay attention and we have to take actions that we could kind of slide by
right.
at an earlier time in our life.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to mention for those who are listening that I wanted to just talk about process for a second. We are both at the studios at our home at Stately Bushman Manor. But for those who don't know, on Blog Talk Radio, it's not as if you're in a studio with a microphone. Everything is done by telephone. So we actually are in the same building, but we are both talking on different telephones to bring this to you. And I mention that because I heard a noise on Alicia's phone, which suggests that at some point in time we may have a technical problem, we may lose her for a second, in which case she'll call back in. So I just wanted to mention that. Also, if you do want to call in, because we're about to cover a subject that I think will be of interest to folks, I mean, the whole thing is of interest, but particular interest, you can do that. We have about 16 minutes left to the show. You can call us at 347-994-3796. And also, I wanted to invite you to join us next week as well. And on Christmas Eve, Alicia's going to join us again, which is obviously several weeks away, to talk about another subject, of not really similar import, but a similar subject broadly, which is numerology. But let's go ahead and get back to the astrology discussion now. And I wanted to ask you about the subject of compatibility.
No,
other than are you in favor of it? But, but in terms of compatibility vis-a-vis astrological signs.
Okay. Well, compatibility is explained most simply by the sign elements, and let me explain what that is. There
Please.
Are four elements in the zodiac, earth, air, fire, and water. We are all familiar with those. Not necessarily in terms of the zodiac, but we've all heard of those expressed. Fire signs, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius, are the most intensely energetic, the most egotistical, have the greatest need to express their individual essence in the world, are the most pioneering, and often the most, and I, dramatic and flamboyant, and is seeking and needing attention to feel comfortable. The earth signs are the signs of stability. They are the signs of, that is, Taurus and Virgo and Capricorn. They are the signs that take care of the business of life, and they're the people that you can depend on. And there also is a very strong streak of sensuality in the earth signs. And I don't just mean that in terms of sexuality, although that is part of it. I mean that in terms of liking good wine and good food and being out in nature. And they're very sensitive to all of their senses are very much alive. And they are also very much concerned with money and security and stability. The air signs are most affected by their intellects and sometimes have trouble dealing with their emotions. The air signs are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. And although they have as great a need for love as anyone, both to give and receive, sometimes it's difficult for them to really know how to do that because air needs more than anything else to be free. And sometimes freedom, if you feel like you must be unfettered in life, you're going to have some problems when it comes to being with that one other person. You,
right, because you feel as if you're being tied down or something, if you remember that.
Right. And with part of you, you take tremendous joy in having that one person in your life, and the other part of you, you can't handle it. And that is, frankly, very typical of air signs.
Okay,
and
then you've got water, right?
You've got water, and water is the signs of the emotions. And by, I mean, they're no less intelligent and no less needing of security or achievement than other signs. But the thing that affects them most deeply is not their thoughts, but their feelings. Mm-hmm. And more than any other sign, they are intuitive. They are sensitive.
And those
they
three
are,
signs are?
Those three signs, excuse me, are Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
And they have more of a conscious understanding of the need to give and receive love than the other elements. And they don't necessarily feel like they're being tied down when they have a relationship. And they also tend to be fairly solitary. You can think you know a water sign, but believe me, it's like an iceberg 90% below the surface. And that's how they like it. They don't want to really be known unless they really have developed a trust with you, and that takes them a long time.
Right.
So if you are an air sign, you're most compatible with another air sign or secondarily to that, a fire sign.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a water sign, you're most compatible with another water sign or an earth sign. And then again, if you're an earth sign, you're most compatible with earth and then water. If you're an air sign, you're most compatible with air and fire and vice versa. So that is just the sun signs. Now you get really complicated because the moon is also extremely important in relationships. If I was being a Pisces, Jeff, if you happened to have had a Virgo moon, which is a sign opposite to Pisces, because there are signs that are opposite to each other. So
these opposites occur on basically on a chart or on a circle in terms of the
right.
distance from each other?
Right. The
okay.
equidistant from each other. So when you're looking at a chart, you just draw a straight line across that circle. You bisect the circle. The sign at the other end of that bisected circle is your opposite sign.
Right.
And I'll
right.
run through them very quickly. Aries and Libra are opposite. Taurus and Scorpio. Gemini and Sagittarius. Cancer and Capricorn, excuse me. Leo and Aquarius, Virgo and Pisces, and then you simply reverse them, you know, Libra and Aries and Scorpio and Taurus. So basically,
right.
So anyway, if that person that is has a compatible sun sign with you has a moon in an opposite sign, that can really make for a very difficult situation.
Sure.
And it's like with part of you, you are drawn to them, and with the other part of you, and there's also occasionally a feeling of really being pushed away.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that can be a feeling of aversion. You don't know where it comes from. A feeling of not having an easy trust and communication with that person. That person with a moon sign opposite yours can suddenly do or say something that makes you think, who are you? I don't know
mm-hmm.
who you are. So that is something to look at very carefully. You want to look at the moon sign. And what makes somebody really compatible with you is not only if their sun is in a compatible sign, but if the moon is also in a compatible sign, and those compatible signs would be the same as the ones I named for your sun sign.
Right, and you're talking about the moon sign of the other being compatible
right.
with both your sun sign and your moon.
Right.
As well as your moon being compatible with their sun sign and their moon.
Right.
Just to get all the compatibility factors in there. Now, some of this may sound a little bit esoteric, but it and you know this is something in which I'm certainly no expert. But there are, as you mentioned, there are books available. Since you haven't written yours yet, what book would you recommend for someone who has an interest in the subject but is obviously a beginner? Is there a book you would recommend as a first book to get?
Absolutely, and it's classic. It's Sun Signs by Linda Goodman, and it is so specific, so beautifully written, and she so has such a profound understanding of every single sign. And you will feel after reading your own sign that you know yourself almost for the first time in a deep way.
Yeah, and by the way, this is very different from the thing we mentioned before with some level of disparagement, the horoscope in the newspaper. You know, if I read my horoscope in the newspaper or on a variety of websites, one of the things that's going to occur on a given day, if I think it's a great prediction, or it seems to fall in line with what I've just experienced or what I expect to experience, boy, that person who did that horoscope's brilliant. And then another day, I'm going to think, this could apply to anyone. And the third day, I'm going to think, this is way off base.
Absolutely.
With the Sun Sign book, because I've never read it, but you've shown me things of it in it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you'll see is that when they describe your characteristics, it is not a universal. I mean, you could always say something to try to please your reader, like, people have a tendency to underestimate you. Well, okay, great. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody feels that way about themselves. But there is much more to that, much more in terms of the description. And just as an example of that, I don't remember whether it was that book specifically or another one which you've shown me, but the astrologers know that, for example, if your sign is Cancer, the likelihood is you're going to have a stomach as your health issue. There may be others as well, but the stomach is an issue, for example, in terms of, you know, the possibility of Crohn's, ulcers, you know, IBS, all of that, and also where your weight comes and goes if you gain or lose weight. That's just one example because I'm familiar with it, but there are many others. But it is specific.
Yes, it is. And also with cancers, you have the situation where they're obviously a very emotional sign, they're a water sign, and their emotions are felt in their intestinal tract.
Mm-hmm.
And every single sign has a part of the body that is at times of their lives either very strong or potentially very vulnerable. And
mm-hmm.
you can actually tell what will be that person's health outlook throughout their life by looking at their chart and seeing what signs different signs represent different parts of anatomy, different organ systems, and also how people have a tendency to treat their bodies can be seen in the signs as well, in the chart as well. So, if I'm a Pisces, I know that I have to be very careful and stay away from addictive substances because Pisceans do have a tendency to have both a physical and an emotional problem with addictions. And that's
like
a heads
caffeine.
Up for me. But, oh,
like
okay.
Caffeine.
Like caffeine.
Yeah. Which is a problem,
be worse.
I share. That's,
yeah.
Oh, yeah,
uh-huh.
Lots worse. By the way, according to the clock on the wall, which is a good place for it, we have about 3 minutes left, so we won't be taking any more. We won't be taking any calls. And we'll talk a little bit more in a moment. But wanted to invite all of you who are listening, both live and in the archived edition, to join us next week, Thursday. At 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific, I would like to tell you who our guest is going to be, but I don't know yet. And the reason I don't is because we did have somebody booked, but it looks like he will be undergoing possibly some. He'll be undergoing something of a personal nature. I don't want to go into, but if he may still with me,
I'm
are you
here.
Still there? Okay.
Yes.
And if he does join us, of course, that's fine. If not, we will likely have another guest because you don't want to listen to me for an hour. In any event, that's what's happening next week. That, again, is Thursday night. We're on each Thursday night at the same time here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you should be listening to this somewhere else, then I will give you the website now, which is blogtalkradio.com/Jeff-Bushman. And now we return to Alicia Bushman. We were talking about compatibility and we were talking about the book. Besides Linda Goodman's Sun Signs, which is available in both paperback and hardcover, was there another book you would also recommend to folks?
I would recommend anything by Derek and Julia Parker. They're obviously a married couple, but they are a married couple, and they do books together. But before this program ends, I just want to say something very quickly. I have been asked by some people that are very skeptical about astrology how something like this could possibly work, given our current scientific climate right now. And I would just say, A, I can't really say for sure. Nobody really knows.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really knows that about anything. That's the way the universe is. It's kind of a big unknown at bottom. I would also like to say that everything in the universe is connected as above, so below, so that the planets do have energies that do affect us down here on Earth. And I think I'm going to leave you with that.
Okay, and we have about a minute. The thing I was going to say in response to that is that, or going along with it more correctly, there are lots of things that are not easily explainable, which is one of the things you were saying, but if you want a simple example, this is going back with your background, aspirin works. Nobody really knows how. I mean, there are certain things that are known, but nobody really knows how it works. But as a pain reliever, we know it reduces inflammation, and that reduces the pain. That's fine. And we know it has to do with prostaglandins. But the truth is that nobody really knows. And as a matter of fact, if it were presented today, it might not pass FDA muster. So, as I said, nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, in any event... we will be ringing off and leaving in about 25 seconds. I hope everybody enjoyed listening to us. Are you still there?
I'm here, although I keep going in and out. And by the way, the aspirin was a great example. I love that.
Okay, well, thank you. In our remaining 10 seconds, I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, baby. And thank Autumn, even though her production duties tonight were not well done. Good night. Join us next week. Thanks very much. We're out.
Bye-bye.
Bye.